Holy moly! Welcome to episode 18 of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. Today, I am chatting with my online bestie, Miss Katie Podralski, and we are talking about the reason why you are not seeing results has much less to do with what you are or are not eating and has everything to do with your environment and how you can shape your environment for success in 6 awesome steps. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this interview episode and cannot wait to hear what you think and how you apply these steps to your life. Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom.
Oh my gosh, this feels like meeting an online bestie that you never actually met.
I know.
Oh my word. Okay, so let's dive right on in. If you're cool with it, I would love to. Obviously, my audience is largely one-on-one coaching clients or people who are tempted by ditching diet culture, but are sort of on the fence. Obviously, it's super sexy, super shiny to keep trying something that promises to be the magic solution. And we have been adoring each other's content from a distance for so long because I feel like we're shouting the same thing, which is anti-diet culture. So tell me a little bit about how you got started with your current nutrition philosophy.
Yeah. So what I want to point out too is that I love your approach. And for people that don't know, my company follows a macro-based approach and yours does not. And I love when you do post messages about like not having to count things or track things, because ultimately our goal with clients is to get them away from it. So it's just kind of funny. It's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't think that that would be our goal. You would think that our goal would be like, this is the best thing and you must track. And, you know, and we certainly have clients that don't track. So I ultimately started this business because I had issues with food my entire life. When I lived at home, my parents and I like didn't really get along because I was like the bad teenage black sheep child. I was always doing like illegal things when I was younger, like not all like, you know, seriously illegal things, but I was smoking cigarettes when I was 13. I was, you know, drinking underage. And so my parents definitely like had to hold me down. But what this did was kind of create this block where I felt like I couldn't really be honest with them about my feelings or tell them like what was going on in my life without kind of, you know, getting a slap on the wrist. So I found myself eating food for comfort when they were home and it was just us in the house or in the room. And I didn't really know that that was, you know, a coping mechanism until I got to college and all of my friends pretty much went away. And so did my boyfriend at the time. And I was at home commuting to school. And I was in nursing school and I was like pretty alone. And it kind of amplified that coping mechanism. And I just found myself eating pretty much all the time, which kind of just started to kick up this obsession with the gym and focusing on calories, because that's all I knew. It's all I saw on the internet was calories in, calories out. So my goal was to go to the gym, look at my MyFitnessPal log, see that I had eaten 800 calories for the day. And I would go onto the elliptical or the treadmill and run or work out until my Fitbit and or the machine said that I had burned almost that entire amount. So I kind of built this unhealthy obsession with this calories in, calories out approach. And I found myself super skinny. I actually really liked my aesthetics at the time. I didn't really see anything wrong with it. I felt that I was just leading a healthy lifestyle because I saw the same girls on Instagram or YouTube doing exactly what I was doing, looking great. It seemed like they really loved themselves. And I kind of felt that I was in that group. So I created a food blog at the time. I was obsessed with cooking. I've always really loved food. And I started posting pictures of my food. And then I started watching Netflix things on food. And I found myself in the vegan world. And little did I know that being vegan was actually just my own tool to have an eating disorder without making it known that I had an eating disorder. So I would tell people like, okay, sorry, I can't have that. I'm vegan. Oh no, I can't eat anything. I like ate before I came because I'm vegan. But most people just did not know that that was me. And I didn't really know at the time that that was me using an excuse that I didn't have to eat and be present with food or deal with food as a coping mechanism. So after that, after I had like a little bit of a food blog, I kind of had this like, you know, moment where I felt really crappy. I was feeling really depressed, really anxious. I really didn't feel that like that energetic. I found myself not even wanting to go to the gym anymore. And when I looked a little bit deeper at that, you know, went to the doctors, like things weren't feeling right. I needed to include more protein in my diet. And I was like, what does this stuff even mean? So, you know, then I took the deep dive, which started with going into my yoga teacher training because I realized that my road through dietetics, if I had stopped in nursing school, if I went through dietetics, I was one, going to be in school for 6 years. I shadowed a few dietitians, figured out that I didn't like what they were doing on a day to day. And, you know, at the end of the day, I heard over and over again that it was going to be really hard for me to find an internship. And work one-on-one with clients unless I had a big following and a big base that I could reach as a market. So I went through my yoga teacher training, felt like I needed all this personal work done, and I learned a lot of mindset tools. After that, working with Lululemon, I kind of just got into the fitness and nutrition world, took my precision nutrition certification, got a little bit more background in nutrition, and here we are.
I love that. So many good nuggets of truth I want to pull out of that. But the first thing that obviously I can resonate with, Katie, is your initial focus on calories. And I think a lot of people, and I work primarily with women, but we get caught up in this calories in, calories out model, which gets us so numerically focused. And I love that you said with all my clients, our ultimate goal is to not have to have you track macros in order to continue making progress or maintain your progress. So tell us a little bit more about that. How do you maybe initially start macros with your clients and eventually transition them off of that plan?
Yeah. So when I first started nutrition coaching, I had had my own coach figure out this is what I want to do. It was right in my alley. I knew that I could work with people I know, take the average person that didn't have anything like clinically wrong with them and teach them how to eat. And I tried to take on a mix of clients at first. Like I was like, okay, you don't want to track, so I'm not going to make you track. But what I was finding is that it was really hard for me to manage. I'm also very, type A, and I love delegating and I love managing a team. So having nothing to manage was also driving me crazy. And I was having a lot of difficulty trusting that we were on the same page and we were doing the right work. So with the clients that weren't tracking, I just felt that they were not as happy as some of my other clients. So basically we start off and I have you, you know, track for a week or two, and we just see where you are at now, which usually drives people crazy because they're like, I'm doing great because I'm only eating 800 calories. You know, I'm under, like, don't worry, I'm doing great. And then I'm like, holy crap, we have this actually a big shitstorm to work with. And, you know, now we have to build you up and I'm going to ask you to eat more food. And that might, you know, make an increase in your weight. And we're going to see how you feel about that. So working with macros, I think has allowed me and 99% of the clients, the, understanding about food and what they have on their plate. But of course there comes a point in time where I have a client that's been with me for a little over a year. And I'm like, hey, like we got to start, you know, figuring out how you manage this as your lifestyle and apply it to life. Because what are you going to do when you're 45 years old? You know, and to my 45-year-olds, what are you going to do when you're 60, right? Like, what is your next step? Do you see yourself tracking at your birthdays, your vacations? Like, do you see this lifestyle for yourself? Do you feel that this is appropriate for your own living style? Like, is that what you want? And some people, I find that, like, I have a client that's like a chemist and she's very like numbers focused, and tracking makes her feel less stressed than when she does not track. So there's certain types of people that maybe just work a little bit better with it, but 9 times out of 10, we find that people are ready to learn how to step away from tracking, look at their plate, and trust they are doing what they know how to do, and trust their intuition that they now have the knowledge to do those things.
I love that. And I'd like to tell people all the time, I'm not anti-macros. I'm not anti-numbers. I'm anti-anything that stops working for you as soon as you stop using the tool. Absolutely. So I love that you said, yeah, people track for a while. Initially, I get them to kind of collect a baseline. Where are you starting? And then we grow and grow from there, which it sounds like obviously comes as no surprise. That often means eating more for the clients that you work with. Do you find that people freak out initially when you're like, hey, you're coming to me for fat loss, but guess what? The scale's going to go up first before we get it to go down.
Yeah. And I think that if I didn't have the background in mindset work, I would be like very black and white about this. Like, oh, just trust the process. It's fine. Right? Like, just deal with it. Just do it or don't. Right? And what you find is that people, you know, have their own scars of why they're having such a difficulty breaking through that. Okay, if I gain weight, like, what is the worst thing that's going to happen? What is the worst thing that, you know, could happen if I trust in this? If I commit, if I do this, because the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years of my life, I've been so lost and confused. So what is this possible 1 to 2 years of my life of figuring it out, right? I think that that's very, I find it very interesting when clients are very flustered about that, because when we look at the grand scale of things, the macro part of it, you're like, this is such a small short-term investment in your life. It is, you are so worthy of figuring this out. And that's what it always comes back to, is that you are worthy of having the comfort in your own body that you seek out. And you are so worthy of putting this money into yourself for the short period of time to understand.
Okay. So this was, I have a very long list of things that I wanted us to talk about,
which fine.
May not get to all of them, but that actually, you hit the nail on one of them, which was in a recent post. I think you were talking about the importance of finding someone to coach you through this process and investing in accountability. And obviously we found individuals who are willing to do that, but Katie, it's so hard for people to say, wait a second, this is going to take me longer than 30 days or longer than 12 weeks. And you're telling me I might not even see progress initially. And I know it's really hard for me to kind of talk clients off of that ledge because they've been taught to expect radical results, which of course only last temporarily. So how do you frame that to your clients? Like, the, you are worth the investment, just like you said. What's your pitch to kind of help people start believing that?
So I have a, and I'm sure you know this through my posts, I have a very black and white and sassy side to me. I always have. And then the yoga side actually brought in the quote unquote, like, mushy side of me, the gray area. And the black and white side of me really comes out when talking to clients about our timeline, right? Usually my first gut reaction is to be like, well, has that worked for you already? Writing down how many calories you ate and then going on the treadmill, how's that working for you? Right? And kind of turning the tables of like, hey, like, yes, we are at month 6. You have either seen little progress or you've seen tremendous progress. No matter where we are, what are you doing now? What are you saying to yourself now? What are your surroundings like now? They weren't before. And, you know, those things need to be heightened. And I think that what we do is we minimize the things about like having conversations with people around you, the noticing your body's capabilities. And I have like a 6-step process that I go through, but like noticing all these things should be what we focus on, right? And the diet culture has amplified the calories, the aesthetics, the sculpting and burning. And what we've done with that is we've now minimized the importance it is to feel our own capability in life, our functionality, what we, you know, what we are here to do and what we want for our own lives. So I usually turn the tables around on the client just to, you know, to kind of clear that gray of like, I don't know what you've done in the past that you might have think worked better, right? We are in this, you know, like I call it that shitstorm. We are in this shitstorm because of the fact that there's so much confusion. There was big highs and big lows. So we've got to work through that.
I love that. And it reminds me of a conversation actually just yesterday I had with a client where we were taking a look at her progress. She's been in coaching for about 3 months now. And she was saying, but Nicole, the scale, it's moved like 2 pounds. But when she came on board, we do an intake and I asked her what she wanted from this process. And she was like, well, I don't want to be afraid of food anymore. I'm afraid food's going to make me fat. I avoid carbohydrates entirely and I want to learn how to more moderately include them into my diet. And I'm eating zero vegetables, so I should probably work on that. So in kind of reflecting, she had knocked all of these things out of the park since we started working together, but the scale had moved a couple of pounds. And so I think sometimes we underappreciate those behavior change pieces mm-hmm. of progress and maybe highlight too much to a detriment, just the aesthetics, which I know you speak to all the time on your social media content, which I love.
Yeah. So it's funny because yesterday I had the same conversation with a client. She's been with me for almost a year now. We have not seen any changes on the scale. And I'm sure for anybody that will be listening to this, that is like, what? She has been paying $150 a month to not see a number change on the scale for a year. And what we talked about was like, hey, for the first 2 months, you were having very hard time becoming consistent with tracking, with realizing your intake, with changing your intake, right? And then the next 3 months, you had a really hard time structuring your exercise, your movement practice, and designing what that looks like for you as a person, not what society wants that to be. And then the next 2 months, we focused on your mindset and what was, you know, holding you back from believing that you are worthy of, you know, improving in all these other areas and living the healthy lifestyle that you want for yourself. And now we're here where you finally started to piece everything together and everything is, you know, going this nice smooth wave. Normal life stuff is still happening. Like she still has normal life stress. She still has like her occasional days where things don't go as planned or don't go the way that she had sought them out. But now she's in this wave where she can see like, okay, I've been consistent and things have been working for me for 4 weeks straight, 3 to 4 weeks straight out of this entire year, right? Like things are just now clicking. And that's the average person because there's so much to uncover that, yeah, the scale doesn't really care if you have numerous things to uncover and work on, right? Like the scale's not going to move until these things are consistent.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think I call that building our foundation. So as a visual learner, I'm the biggest fan of analogies. So I always tell clients like, we're building a pyramid here. Like we are climbing the mountain, but we're going to spend a lot of time building that solid foundation, which
absolutely
exactly what you and your client have been working on. Consistency before complexity is mm-hmm. kind of what I repeat till I'm blue in the face, which
absolutely.
Actually, Katie, I wanted you to speak to a little bit. Recently you had a post, I think it said, what's your relationship like with consistency? And I was like, yes, because this is the not so sexy secret behind fat loss. It's just that you keep putting in the work and you keep trying. So can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah. So all of our clients journal weekly at minimum. And we started sending out our journaling questions through our newsletter to kind of give people an inside look at what we're doing. And I do post them on our Instagram, but that was one that kind of hit the nail on the head with a lot of clients. They're like, oh my God, I hate being consistent because I actually start to fear that I'm going to get the body that I want. Right. And this is such a weird concept, right? Like I am afraid that if I stay doing these things long enough, I'm going to achieve that body. Weird concept, right? Like why would we be afraid of finally having the thing that we said that we wanted? And that always goes back to the self-worth, right? I actually haven't truly believed that I'm worthy of being the person that somebody compliments when I walk into the coffee shop. right? I don't believe yet that I'm worthy that when I'm shopping at Whole Foods, people view me as the one that is healthy. And something that we do with consistency with some clients is they get a calendar. And I love this idea. I think we got this from Ben Bergeron. I can't really remember. I don't know if he got it from somebody else, but you get a calendar, a physical printout paper calendar, not your iPhone calendar. And you draw a line through the days that you have accomplished the things that make you feel consistent, right? You've checked the boxes, you've got your movement in, you've, you know, done your food, how you have wanted to do your food, and your mindset work is present. So you draw a line through that day and you keep connecting that line through the calendar as long as you stay consistent. Now, when you are not consistent, you take a big red marker and you make an X on that day. So now you have a visual of the days and your goal is to never break the chain. So what I love about that is people have that, our visual learners have that in their calendar, and some of them are very motivated by themselves and want to not break the chain. They get up every day and they're like, oh, you know, they get off work and they're like, I don't feel like going. I don't want to go on a walk. I don't want to, you know, get any type of movement in, but I don't want to break the chain. So then they go and they go on a walk and they break, you know, they keep that chain going.
Katie, what do you do when someone does break the chain and I call this the fuck it spiral. They're like, oh fuck, I ruined everything. Now it's over. I have to start all over again on Monday. I might as well eat what I want now. I'm sure you experience that where clients have all or nothing thinking. And if they don't get that line through the day, they feel like they've failed. What is your response to that?
Yeah. So usually if people, you know, feel like, oh, like I messed everything up, it's usually a conversation of what did you mess up and why have you labeled that as messing up, right? Always turning it back on them and just wondering like, what have you deemed messing up, right? Because in the health world, like where you are actually truly leading a healthy lifestyle, you would know that some days you're not going to work out. Your workout might be going on a walk. Your movement practice might be doing 10 cat cow on your bedroom floor. So what you have deemed your check markers as the box is what you feel you can live up to. And what we need to do is just make sure that those standards are in line with something we are capable of and feel happy doing. I think that that's where we kind of mess up is we're like, we get a goal or it starts to get nicer out, summer rolls around and we're like, okay, now I'm going to start working out 5 days a week. I'm going to make sure it's CrossFit every day. And then I'm going to make sure that I plan out my mornings. I'm going to fast in the morning. I'm going to eat my meals at night. I'm going to have one cheat meal on Saturdays, right? Like we go extreme and we plan this new life for ourselves. And then that is really what sets us up for failure is when we set the standards so high that we cannot reach them all the time.
Yeah, I find the exact same thing. The goal is too ambitious. We took off too big of a bite and then it's just an unrealistic expectation to uphold day after day, which yeah, that sets anybody up for mindset failure. Absolutely. And I love that you incorporate so much mindfulness and journaling. That's brilliant. And you kind of, it sounds like it's an enforced practice with your clients. Yeah. Have you found that there's a clear line between clients who do and do not practice that mindfulness component?
Absolutely. We have clients that have, I don't even like saying given up. They've given up more on themselves, is usually when they do not do the personal work. And there's definitely a clear line in the people that I have that are consistently journaling, they are in it, right? Because every week at minimum, they are noticing and reflecting on their week, how they feel, what's currently going on with them during the process. And it just, they are able to settle into that long-term thinking, right? And the people that avoid the journaling, don't complete it, are the ones that are usually like, I just don't know why I can't stop, you know, restrict and binge, right? And it's usually like, hello, like, and we always have to have that conversation like, hey, actually, you're still one of my few clients that is not journaling. And I think that that is still your area of improvement. So there's definitely a clear line there.
And I think you're highlighting something that I don't think we talk about enough, where we expect nutrition and fitness to work in silos. Like, oh, I'm going to set this goal and I'm going to do the thing. And then when I fail, I've ruined somehow because we fail to incorporate real life with those two components, nutrition and exercise. Like you said, maybe someone's having a really stressful season. They lost a family member or they lost a job or who knows what's happening. And if we fail to integrate that and the mindfulness that needs to come right alongside that, our nutrition and exercise will never operate in isolation, at least in my experience, and it sounds like in yours as well.
Absolutely. I think more and more as we are all leading a very stressful lifestyle, right? Like everyone is very stressed out. They are looking more at how the mind and body are very much connected. We don't walk around with our heads separated. And our nervous system definitely isn't outside of our body where we just choose to put it on during stressful situations. It lives inside of us. And again, our aesthetics and our body does not care if we want something, yet our life doesn't set us up for it.
Yes, we're kind of flirting with a topic I want to dive into next, which is environment. You are so brilliant at helping your following and your audience realize you can have all the information, like you can have all the tools, but if you don't set yourself up for success with accountability, with a supportive environment, you are not going to succeed. So how powerful do you think environment is for your client's success, and how do you encourage them to set it up for success?
I feel like I need to crack my back before I talk about this stuff. I'm always like, oh my God, there's so much to talk about with this. So I have designed my own 6 mindset work roadblocks that I go through and look at when I look at a client as a whole. So I'll kind of skim over them. But our environment plays the biggest role in our success. And again, it's something that is undermined and not, you know, looked at a macro standpoint, especially on social media. It's not sexy. Again, it's not fun to talk about like your childhood trauma and who in your life is like a bully to your success. But yeah, like I always say, like you can quit alcohol, you can quit drugs, but you can't quit food, right? Like we can go to rehab for those things, but we are never getting rid of food. And that's just something that's a huge barrier for most people, is to come to terms with that. So number one on our mindset work roadblocks is loneliness. Usually it's like a typical experience in the beginning of something new, when we desire change for ourselves, but the people around us are staying the same. It's easy for us to feel isolated. We might, you know, that isolation might lead to us feeling a lack of confidence in our decisions. So that's something to look at and start off with clients is, hey, like, do you feel supported? Like, what is your lifestyle? Like, who are the people around you, which is tied into the environment, which is number two. You know, this could be the place that we live in. This could be like, you know, city, state area that we live in. This could be our house. And this could be where our movement practice lives as well. I find that the clients that don't observe their environment and actually take a look at the factors that they are dealing with personally will not succeed ever, because it's, you know, in denial, and sometimes like ignorance is bliss. But when you are constantly walking into the grocery store that is marketing unhealthy foods, or, you know, doesn't have or some organic options or high quality protein options readily available, that's something that's already setting you up for a piece of your willpower tank that needs to be used. And then, you know, the other part of that is your house environment. Is your pantry filled with unhealthy foods, processed sugar-filled foods? Is your fridge, like, what does your house look like as far as your environment? And your place of movement, whether it's a gym, whether it's yoga, whether it's boxing, like whatever you do for your movement practice, what is the conversation and the direction of that environment? Again, the individuals that go to a gym or movement practice that is talking about sculpting or burning or shows the calories burned still think that that is the utmost importance. They still have a focus that is entirely on aesthetics. And those are the individuals that are usually looking at the scale the most and their photos, which also goes to just being in a gym where there's mirrors everywhere. Or we, you know, see people taking photos of themselves and staring at themselves while they work out. It's very aesthetic based, you know, and trying to switch that environment in a gym or a movement setting where we are amplifying your capabilities, your strength, your mindset, and your breath. So that's kind of the biggest thing for environment, which leads to our support system. The people around us hearing and understanding what we need and what we want for ourselves. This is also something that is very undermined, right? We think and we assume that people just get it, right? Like if I start eating healthy today, although my husband eats unhealthy, he's just going to understand, right? They don't perceive this as a change for the other person, an impact on their support system. And I think that, you know, the conversations that we have with our support system, like, hey, I need this from you. That's number four is conversations, is setting boundaries and saying, this is what I want for myself. This is how I'm currently feeling. This is the support that I could use from you. And this is what I need, right? And making those things very clear is something that could take years, right? Depending on how willing we are to be vulnerable and speak our truth. But just getting curious around what boundaries we need. Five is our upbringing, something that also goes back to our support system, our environment. And disclaimer, parents, there is nothing that you are going to do to prevent this trauma from happening. You cannot possibly be a perfect parent. Even the parents that try to provide the healthiest, organic, you know, loving environment for their kids are still going to fuck their kids up in some way, unintentionally. So disclaimer there, but our upbringing, did your parents put unhealthy foods on a pedestal? Was the prize for eating a healthy dinner that you get to eat something so unhealthy? Was the, you know, again, a prize of going to McDonald's, was that every time you had a game? Was that your fuel after a game? Is that what you viewed as, you know, the something that you craved and only had to do something good to get it? Were you forced to eat things that you didn't like? Was it you are not going to leave the table until you finish XYZ? Were you allowed to leave the dinner table while leaving food on your plate? Were you allowed to eat at the times of your choosing and choose the foods in your day? And did you have the upbringing where you were educated about food? So all of that ties lastly into number six. I think we're at six now. Yeah. Is our why, which you would think is our first one sometimes, but I think that sometimes belongs best last after we've evaluated the other five things is why do we want this for ourselves? And that's going to look different to every person. Like you said, is going back to like, yeah, the scale's not budging, but what did you want out of this? Why are you here? Why do you want support? And why are you taking on this journey for yourself? And we also use the, you can probably link this, I think, but Ben Bergeron has an awesome podcast about the, it's called Whoopie, W-H-O-O-P-I-E, in his Chasing Excellence podcast. And we have our clients write out their Whoopie. It's a podcast all about evaluating and breaking down your goals into workable, livable, measurables. And I just love the way he breaks it down. It makes you really actually see that there's a lot of things that you think that you want, but you don't because of the work that it requires to get there. But yeah, those are the six things. So just to recap, it was loneliness, environment, support system, conversations, upbringing, and why.
Wow. Okay. So much great value there. Like, I'm going to listen back to this and take notes because I think I have to implement some of these things because undoubtedly I see all of them. And I think you hit on some really, really strong points. I want to circle back around to largely women are tuning in from my audience and they have a hard time with those conversations that you talked about. And I recently did an episode called Being Assertive Doesn't Make You an Asshole. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of very black and white demonstrate that you have to be an advocate for your goals and for the life that you want to live because no one else, you and I aside as a coach, will do that for you. How do you walk someone through having those hard conversations? Because I agree with you 100%. It's indicative of success. How do you walk them through having those conversations if they're worried about what people will think or, well, I don't want to change their behavior just because I'm trying to change mine? Any like tidbits that you can share?
Yeah. So the basic guideline for this is usually, obviously that comes up from, it usually stems from anxiety somewhere. There's an anxious feeling there. And the two questions with anxiety that I like to just always bring back up is number one, with this feeling, what is the worst that's going to happen? And two, how awful really is number one? right? Because usually, like, we can't really say that it's going to be that awful. The worst thing that's going to happen when we have this conversation is, this person might be confused where this is coming from, right? Okay, and how awful is that? It's really not that awful, right? Or it might be that I might make them uncomfortable, that they might feel like they have to change too, okay? And what's the worst that happened with that? Why is that so awful? It's really not. It just might lead to another conversation. And I think that, you know, I can be very triggering for some women because of my language around taking up space, demanding what you want, even if you are saying it in, again, that assertive, maybe it sounds like an asshole way, but I don't think that majority of us were brought up with the surroundings that supported us to speak for what we want and how we're feeling and what we need. And that's uncomfortable. And I think that the older that you are, the more years you have behind you of conditioning and habits that make you feel like you are trapped in being where you are right now. Although it might take more conversations or a little bit more digging, it's absolutely worth it.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And again, wow, we're tying so many of these things in, but upbringing. So I make no secret about growing up in a very conservative Christian environment. And a lot of the women that I work with who are local have a similar backgrounds, and they have this, I have to be a servant and I have to put others first mindset, which not a bad thing inherently, right? But I think it automatically moves us and our needs to the bottom of the list. So I find that those individuals similar to myself have a hard time saying, I deserve to take up space and I deserve to put myself first and achieve this thing because it's important to me.
Yeah. It kind of goes back to way in the beginning of the podcast, we were talking about how in the beginning, it's like, I deserve this. And what have I done that has worked for me in the past? Like, why am I even here? And that always comes back to, because we didn't demand this, right? We didn't assert ourselves here. And I love taking care of people. And you understand that too. We are in the world and the job and the market of taking care of people and holding space for them, precious space to hear their emotions, their thoughts, where they're coming from, and help guide them. So we really understand what it's like to hold people and cradle them, right? So when we are dealing with other people that feel like they can't drop the cradle, it's kind of, you know, giving them our own example of like, hey, there's sometimes where I have to push you, right? And there's sometimes that I have to hold you. And there's sometimes that I need to give you the space to learn, right? And you have to do that with yourself. Sometimes you need to hold other people. Sometimes you need to give them space. And sometimes you need to guide them. And it's the same thing with parents, really, is like, I can look back in my past and see where my parents held me, where they gave me space to kind of fuck up and test me to see what I would do without the constant like control. And then they also gave me the space to guide me, right? And I think it just comes back to rerouting that we cannot control everything. We just don't have the power. And it wouldn't even be fun if we could make everything happen the way we want it to.
That's for sure. I think a lot of what we're talking about is reminding me, I feel like we can make this the title, but like, how is that working for you? Yep. And whether it's your environment or whether it's, you know, trauma that's coming from your past or whether it's conversations that you're not having, if it's not working for you, Katie, how would you tell someone to take that next step?
So if it's not working for me, I have to look at what is working, how I can amplify those things and where I believe my next steps are. Because like we said earlier, I might not be heightening one of the things that needs to be my macro focus. Like your client said, like, actually, I haven't been eating that many vegetables. Okay, so let's amplify it, right? And I, at the end of the day, know my truth, know my reality, and I know where I'm putting in work and where I am not, whether that's personal, mental, in environments, or in my day-to-day food and movement practice. So I think that it goes back to just assessing and checking off the boxes and seeing where I feel that I need to let go and where I need to give.
Oh my gosh. So much value. I feel like I want to go back and listen to our podcast.
I know. I'm so excited to re-listen to it.
So Katie, before we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to say or any like closing remarks with kind of our clientele sounds very similar.
Yes.
They have a difficult time investing in themselves, mm-hmm. but you and I both know that it's worth it. And the client who is consistent and can set their environment up for success learns that it's worth it. Anything that you want to leave us with? I'm putting you on the spot. You were not prepared.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. I think that the thing that I love to close out with is understanding that what you have been doing is not working. That's why you are here. And that is perfectly okay. But part of what is going to work is investing in yourself and looking at the long-term life perspective. And that's pretty much it.
It reminds me of a quote I heard the other day where it's one of the best skills that we can possibly learn is to calculate future consequences for our current choices. And I think we think of consequences as being a bad thing, but that doesn't have to be the case. So like if I choose to invest in myself now, where will I be a year from now or 10 years from now compared to the quick fix diet mentality? And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but
absolutely. You are definitely preaching and I love it.
So Katie, where can we go to find you on social media? I am already your biggest fan, but if someone wants to come and follow your social media platforms, where can they do that?
So personally on my page at Katie Podrowski on Instagram, I share just more of my lifestyle. It's more of my blog center, kind of behind the scenes, but for direct nutrition coaching and kind of like our mindset work at Functional Nutrition Fitness is where we are.
Awesome. Yes. Go check them out. Katie has tons of awesome recipes. I love seeing your food photos on your Insta stories too, because it's like that girl is eating and she's
I love food.
Is getting amazing results. So I just love that you are debunking the myth that we always have to eat less and exercise more and starve our bodies to get the results that we want. Just not true. Katie, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you on our podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy you're doing this podcast. I can't wait to see it really take off and continue to do great.
Oh my gosh, me too. And I will continue double tapping and hearting everything I see come from you because you're doing great work, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.